Martin Lightfoot, good morning to you.
Good morning, Simon. Turning up with Warwick Duthie is very funny because he used to be a product manager at West End Brewery and I used to be an account director at Young and Rubicon Advertising Agency.
Did you?
In our previous lives, we used to run into each other on a daily basis.
Fantastic. Well, I'm in that the advertising game myself, so I understand your old world. But so now your new world, which is not that new because you've been doing it for 30 years, you're doing some really exciting stuff. Let's just set the scene. So you're in McLaren Vale, Foggo Road.
Correct, yeah.
So, Mart, you've got a salad ore there, you've obviously plantings, and you've just put in some Southern Rhone varieties?
Yeah, 30 years ago, and it's November now, we were in the midst of planting the first vines we'd ever planted in our lives, which was our first planting was 11 acres. It was from office life in the city to becoming grape growers was a dramatic change in life, I have to say, and a hell of a lot of hard work and a lot of fun, but I could still remember digging those holes and planting those vines so very, very well.
Good morning to you, Martin. It's Paul speaking.
Hi there, Paul.
How are you?
Good.
I was reading that up the other day. Yeah, so you put your first ones in 1988, and then your first vintage was 1990. How did that come about? How was that?
1990 was, we only picked a handful of grapes, but we wanted to see what was happening with our fruit, so we got involved with the next door neighbour with a bit of his fruit to fill it out a bit more, and we made our first wine, which still exists and still is immensely drinkable.
Really?
Which was a Cabernet.
So that was two-year-old vines, you say?
Yeah.
Wow. Because I would have thought you wouldn't have a look till at least 3 years. And
it wasn't the commercial quantity, I can assure you. I think we made about 45 cases of wine or something like that.
But as you say, you came from advertising to 40 cases of wine. It's a good start.
Well, that's about enough to drink for a year, isn't it?
I was going to say that'd keep you advertising chaps in thirst.
Now, I don't know. There's a sound there in the background. I don't know if it's at your end or ours, Martin.
It was my clock striking 9 o'clock. It's all right.
Okay.
So 9 o'clock
in McLaren Vale and 9:30 here. It's 9:30 on Inner FM. Obviously, after that first 45 cases of wine, Heswell and Lightfoot was born, and so it's a partnership of the two families, and now you've got the second generation coming through?
Yeah. Over the time, the kids have grown up, and they've watched us having a good time and thinking, well, that's not a bad sort of business to be in. So Mark and Wendy's son, James, who has a good analytical brain and scientific bent, went, oh, I think I'll do oenology at Waite, which he did, and he worked in quite a few wineries around Australia and one or two in America as well, and then settled down to open up his own winery here about 10 or 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been making our wines ever since, and my nephew Richard McGeechie, who now has been living in McLaren Vale for a similar period of time, he decided to do grape growing at viticulture at Waite, and so he manages our vineyard. So it's a good team of younger generation who've now in their mid to late 30s, so they're not so young anymore. I'd like to remind them.
But they, importantly, they can do the pruning these days, and you don't have to.
there's contractors do things like pruning. Right. They do.
Very good. What a great spot you're in. I mean, McLaren Vale is awesome. I mean, we were just talking to Warwick about Clare and how great that is. But equally, McLaren Vale in You know, for Melburnians, I just can't get over how easy it is. You fly in, and within half an hour from the airport, you could be at a tasting bench.
Correct, yeah.
Yep.
It's just...
Yeah, and if you want to go for a swim before you come tasting, then you've only got...
Yeah, and but then you get stuck at the Star of Greece, and then there goes the afternoon, and you need a whole extra day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So Martin, tell us about the... So you've just grafted over with some new varieties. So tell us a bit about, you know, why that occurred and how it's all going.
Yeah, sure. The thing is that, which becomes very obvious when you think about it, is you know, Australia has been full of the French varieties predominantly, whether it's Shiraz or Cabernet Sauvignon or Merlot or Malbec or... Grenache, etc., Chardonnay, of course, and all the brilliant stuff that is grown in Spain and Italy and even Greece has been totally, or near enough to totally ignored for, you know, the 150 years of Australia's wine history. Over since about 2000, we've been going, it'd be good to plant some other stuff. So firstly, we actually planted some Viognier at one stage or other, which was a short success, which is another French variety. But 2000, we started planting things from the southern Mediterranean, so that our first planting was Tempranillo, and then we got into Barbera. And of more recent times, we've grafted in with Montepulciano and Fiano and Vermentino and Grenache. With the idea of bringing some of those new flavours of the Mediterranean into the palate of Australian wine drinkers. And, of course, there are other companies which are also doing it, like SC Panel and things like people like that are doing it now as well.
Yeah.
And it's opening up a whole new experience for people in Australia who love wine.
You're giving that opportunity to those varietals that people get sort of scared to try or, you know, even think
just
of.
Just fear of the unknown, though, isn't it?
The Tempranillo is, it's a brilliant, a great wine to have with food.
Yeah.
And so is Montepulciano.
Montepulciano, yeah.
Whites like Fiano and Vermentino add a new perspective to our drinking options. And not being a Sauvignon Blanc lover, I have to say, leaves Sauvignon Blanc lying in the gutter somewhere. Probably doesn't win me any friends saying that.
So the New Zealand Sevalanche hasn't impressed you?
Sorry, New Zealand. I stumbled over a thought a couple of months ago, and I have no justification for it, but I reckon it could be right that, you know, Australia is full of French varieties because our forebears, of course, being the Brits, they were into shipping things across from Bordeaux. And they also had this colony down the bottom of South Africa, down the bottom of Africa called South Africa, which when we were being discovered, South Africa's colony was, 100, 120 years old by then. And they had substantial vineyards down there planted by the Brits. And, of course, they planted all these French varieties because that's what Brits love. Yeah. And our early bringers of grapes into Australia, they stopped off to pick up their planting material in South Africa. So, of course, they bought all the French stuff, and we never got to discover all the joys of the Mediterranean varieties and... at all in those days, and we just became Francophiles in our wine drinking like the Brits were. But we're breaking free.
Well, we certainly are. There is so much variety. I mean, even you talk about Montepulciano, so there really aren't that many examples of good ones. Have you come across many, Crowley?
I was going to say no. It's one that it's once you try.
They're coming, aren't they?
Yeah.
But yeah, like
not
it's,
enough there.
No.
But once again, once you get people to try it, they get caught up in it, and get swept up in it.
Yeah, and teach them how to use it, I think, is the point, isn't it, Martin? It's, you know, these wines, they have a job to do. You know, so it's a food job or it's a, You know, Fiona, mind you, is, you know, a sunny day sitting outside.
Brilliant, like today here in Melbourne.
Correct.
Now, tell me, Martin, I was looking through, there's always some story behind labels and how you get your name. Now, you know, like it might be airstrip, so that part of the paddock was, well, that part of the farm was an old airstrip.
Mitchelton, you mean?
Yeah, like Mitchelton, they've got the airstrip. And you've got fat and skinny. Now, tell me, is that between you, Mark, and yourself?
No, it wasn't.
I was just trying to work out how the hell those two got that one. The old fat and skinny had a race.
Well, it actually relates to the porcelain that my wife, late wife, and I bought in Lake Como many years ago. And she was buying leather handbags, and I was looking in the store trying to entertain myself. And
as we do.
I saw these great porcelains, and this guy finally stitched Jill up with a handbag and saw me looking. Here's an option here to make another sale. So he started going through this stuff, and they were brilliant. They were Capi De Monte stuff, and he finally pulls out one which is fat and skinny label. And I go, Christ, how do I justify getting this? And we didn't even have a wine label in those days.
Oh, crikey!
So, and I went, I know. That could be our next wine label.
Really?
I could then justify buying this thing, which
of course,
I still have.
Is it on display, though?
No, it's not. It lives at my house. And later on, we had used it as a label for a while and then passed it over to doing something a bit more serious. Some German people were selling wine who said, oh, you are promoting drunkenness. We cannot have these in our in our shops. So we changed their wine label then, and old Fat and Skinny sat around for quite a long time until the Brits wanted some wine and wanted a different label. So
resurrected it again.
Suggestion. They came back saying, hey, why don't we call it Fat and Skinny? So they labelled it Fat and Skinny. Nobody here.
Right.
Brilliant.
Very good. Under the Heswell and Lightfoot label, how many wines are you making currently?
I think it's about 10. And talking about names, there's a Shiraz called Sands of Time. And that relates to the history of McLaren Vale in terms of the topography, where we've got the hill shapes, etc. But over 10,000 years, the sand that has blown in from the sea has coated parts of McLaren Vale in deep troughs of sand and built sand hills out of what were normal sort of rubble type hills, our vineyard is a sand yard. So at the top of the hills, you can go down forever looking for something more substantial.
Right.
Down the bottom of the hills, it's only about 500 mils down to clay. But so Sands of Time was the story of 10,000 years of movement of sand across the valley, forming what is our vineyard. And these days, what was a lot closer to the beach is now 10 kilometres, 5 kilometres away, 6 kilometres away. And there's another one called 38 Days.
That's what I was just about to ask you about, that one, yes.
38 Days relates to the extended maceration that fruit goes through, so that the fruit sits on skins. For 38 days, minimum of 38
days.
Quite
a long time compared to what would normally be done, isn't it?
Yeah, well, normal ferment is 7 or 8.
Yeah.
It just builds the phenolics in the wine, softens out the tannins, just adds a different characteristic to wine style. And we do 38 days, which is 100%... extended maceration blend of Shiraz and Cabernet Sauvignon, but we also use material like that in other wines as well, because just adding 15% of that sort of fruit, well, that sort of wine that has come from that fruit, just adds, you know, extra characteristics, you know, little things which add nuances of specialness in the style of wine.
I think that that sort of softer tannins is what's really appealing for McLaren Vale Shiraz.
Right.
I think it's really what you'd kind of know McLaren Vale Shiraz for.
Yeah, well, it's coming from South Australia, you haven't got that big, masculine, ballsy Barossa.
Barossa sort of Valley Floor sort of
thing. Yeah.
No, and McLaren Vale has got a great variety of Shiraz interpretations as well. You know, Selix Hills, a lot bigger, straight-on fruit, but here we're in the Blewett Springs, sort of end of the Vale, and most of the vineyards through this end are sand vineyards and cooler as well. And the subtlety that is found this end of the Vale is identifiably so. You can see that the wines from this end have a length of palate, you might say, where you can taste things all along the profile. While when you get something that's big and juicy, it goes whack, and you get big and juicy, and then you get nothing. While the Blewett Springs stuff is terrific. Well, it depends what you like. Some people like big, juicy, and totally enjoyable doses of Shiraz, and other people like the subtle extended flavours, which and that's the joy of wine. We all like something different.
That is so true, and that is the pleasure of drinking. Yeah.
So on that point, Martin, you have a site that will give you certain things. You have so that same variety planted elsewhere will give a totally different wine.
Yep.
So therefore, you have to make, in a way, you have to make it to. You can't fight against what is going to be naturally there, is probably what I'm saying. So if you prefer a different style than your block's going to give you, you probably have to go and find material from another block.
And that's right. But it's nothing. We don't. Everything, all the fruit we use is fruit that we grow. Maybe we learn to enjoy what we grow, and hopefully a few other people do as well.
Well, I think you would have got plenty of feedback over 30 years if you were doing the wrong thing.
That's true. Very true.
In fact, you'd have a hell of a lot of wine in the shed over 30 years,
and we'd have to be planning to live for 300 years.
What a fun change of career, and I'm sure, you know, the lifestyle aspect of it has just been amazing. You know,
it's my big green office is the reference I give it. I used to work with a guy who called his golf course his big green office.
Very good. Excellent. Well, look, that's fantastic. It's great to hear the story and really to now watch the development of these other varieties. So the 2016 Fiano is out, obviously.
Well, we've just bottled the 2017 Barbera, the 2017 Montepulciano and Granaccia, and the 2018 Fiano and Vermentino. And all those wines are now available at Cellador, and they will be out into the marketplace generally from about the 1st of January. And in the process of that, we've sort of separated with a whole new labelling structure our Mediterranean wines from our French variety wines, so they're not looking at all at the same label all the way across the Hasselblad Light picture. And there's a reasoning behind why the division happens. And we're hoping the response to what is a fresh new look to Hasselblad Lightfoot gets some fresh new attendance. And I guess in some respects a traditional label sort of is a bit aged compared to who's drinking public art today.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. To me, it feels like the story is, you know, the next generation's coming. There's a little bit of, you know, some new stuff to talk about, and it seems to have really longevity set
up. Well, with the next generation coming through the winery even, that's great.
Yeah. Exciting times, Martin, for you to be involved.
Well, it's an exciting industry, as you both well know. It's always a land of change.
It always is,
When we first started this business, we'd plant this, and they'll be there till the day we die. And then somewhere about 10 years later, we're in the fashion business, actually, it's impossible, I think, for anyone to believe that when we started in 88, people here in McLaren Vale were chopping off their Shiraz and grafting it over to Chardonnay.
Now you're right.
You'd struggle to find a Chardonnay out of McLaren now.
Exactly. Now we've all pulled out our Chardonnay, or we've grafted it back, or people like the Leafs and the Hardys were smart enough. They were own-rooted Shiraz, so they chopped them off, grafted them over to Chardonnay, and now, of course, what they do is cut the Chardonnay off, and the Shiraz has come right back up again, so they just reconverted back to their original variety. In our case, you can't quite do that because we're 100% rootstock for a vineyard, so everything in our vineyard is planted on American rootstocks, which is the same way it is in France, and we don't do it because of phylloxera, which is why, of course, they did it, and why Spain and Italy, in the most, have done it as well. But we did it because
of
the efficiency of rootstocks.
Yeah.
From growing in sand, rootstock is terrific at finding moisture.
Right.
And they're also resistant to nematodes, which are the problem of sand farmers. Grafting over is... grafting over and regrowing rootstock's not a winner. But grafting back onto root. Has been totally successful.
So, great.
I think I was saying to you, Simon, that the joy of grafting is that you get fully mature fruit from your first pick, while, as you were indicating earlier, it takes a while for new vines to produce fruit, which is of much appeal. The acid levels are all over the place in young vines. But grafted vines, because it's got a root system, the root system you've grafted onto could be 10 or 12 years old. It's got a fully mature root system. Result, the fruit which comes off, which you're only waiting 18 months from the day you graft it, and you're picking reasonable-sized crops, and the fruit's terrific. The fruit's like you expect off a 12-year-old vine.
Brilliant.
It's fantastic, yeah. Very good way to do it.
Good luck with those new graftings too.
Yeah, and just really quickly, because we are now out of time, unfortunately, but if we want to come to the cellar door, you're open Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Yes, and public holidays.
And public holidays, excellent.
Yep.
Well, I'd say well worth a visit, don't you? I mean,
well, as you say, fly over to Adelaide, half an hour, you're in there.
Yep, and as you say, the Blewett Springs sort of end up in that top corner.
Yep.
Fantastic spot. You've got some really great neighbours around there too to fill your day of tastings.
there's no shortage of good wineries around here, you can't walk between a whole bunch of them, but you could damn near walk between a whole bunch of them.
The car doesn't get very warm by the time.
And you come to our cellar door, you can have a lovely lunch, which a platter lunch of some really interesting local foods, and sit down with a bottle of wine or just run through a tasting while doing it. And sitting in the sunshine on a day like today would be absolutely glorious. There's not a cloud in the sky right now.
Fantastic.
You're teasing us, Martin.
Well, Martin, we'll drop in next time we're there for sure, and have a good afternoon. I reckon it's probably about 2 hours away or 2.5 hours away from opening the bottle of Fiano and off you go. Enjoy that sunshine.
That's a long time to wait.
It is.
I'm not sure I can wait that
long. So, you know, quality control is one thing, and did we get it right, and is it right for the public to consume? So you probably could open it now.
I can see you know our business very, very well.
Very good. All right, great to speak with you, Martin.
Thanks, Martin.
Thanks, Simon. Thank you, Paul.
Martin Lightfoot from Haswell and Lightfoot in McLaren Vale.